Well, I want to consider this morning something a little different, a little unique. We want to answer a question that's an odd one, probably one you've never asked yourself before. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we see the reasoning behind our lesson today. All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." We're all familiar with parables where Jesus takes an earthly thing and puts it into a story and tells that story, and that then has a deeper meaning. It's a spiritual meaning to that. Like he tells the parable of the sower, about the guy that goes out and sows seed, and some of the seed fell here and some fell there. And we're familiar with that story. And we know that that story has nothing to do with how we plant seeds. It's all about planting the Word of God in people's hearts. And so this morning, I want us to do something similar to that. We're going to do a parable of sorts as we ask the question, are you a Winnie the Pooh Christian? Now, some of you may be familiar with Winnie the Pooh. He's on my tie right here that my kids gave me. But some of you have probably read the books or seen the cartoons. And certainly, if you have children or grandchildren, you've probably heard of these Disney characters, although they originally weren't Disney characters. Originally, this was a set of stories written by a man for his son to teach him some lessons about life. And he used the boy's stuffed animals as characters that came to life in his stories, somewhat like Aesop's Fables or something of that nature. And he used those stories to illustrate things to his son. I want us to consider some of those characters and see if we see ourselves in some of those things. Are we like some of those people? Some people like some of these characters that are in this cartoon series and book series. So we'll start with the main character, Winnie the Pooh. And that little guy looks probably familiar to most of us. We've seen him somewhere before. Winnie the Pooh is considered to be a bear of very little brain. And he's stuffed with fluff. And he's really pretty chubby. And one of the things that he does concern himself with a great deal is eating a smack roll of something. He wants to eat some food. All the time, he's thinking about, where am I going to get my next meal? Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like anything we've read about in the Bible? Well, in Matthew chapter 6, in verses 25 through 34, Jesus warns us about this very kind of thing. He says, "I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing?" He goes on then to describe how the birds don't sow seeds, but they get fed. And he talks about the flowers in the field and how they are beautiful even though they don't spend the time making clothing. And he warns us of the danger of materialism, the danger of being so focused on our physical needs that we get sidetracked from the spiritual things of this life. And that's something that Winnie the Pooh does all the time. Of course, he's not a spiritual being. He's just a stuffed animal. So I guess it's one thing for him. But for us as Christians, being obsessed with the physical things of this world and not being concerned with the spiritual things is a serious problem. We can be too concerned with the world that we live in so that we forget to live for the world that we want to live in, the world that is to come. So Pooh Bear is the first of these. The second is Piglet. Piglet, of course, is a little baby pig. He's a cute little guy. He's little, and there are lots of big animals. And he's scared all the time. He's frightened of the wind when it blows. He's frightened of every little noise. He's afraid it's a heffalump, which I think is an elephant, or a jaguar, which I'm pretty sure is a jaguar. But he's scared of all these things because every noise that he hears, he thinks is something bad. Are we kind of like that? We talked in class this morning about the psalmist being confident in God and saying, who should I be afraid of when God is my light and my salvation? When He's my fortress, my stronghold, why should I be afraid of anybody or anything? And yet, many times in our lives, we're kind of afraid of things. Sometimes we're afraid to talk to people about Jesus. Sometimes we're afraid to invite somebody to church. Sometimes we're afraid of a lot of things that it seems, why are we afraid of that? And yet, sometimes we are. Sometimes we're like Piglet. In 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8, we read about Timothy, who seems to maybe have had a little struggle with that, just like we sometimes do. And Paul has to remind him, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. See, Paul tells Timothy, being fearful all the time, being afraid of everything around you, is not a Christian behavior. That's not a godly behavior. That's not the kind of thing that God encourages us to do. God gives us a spirit of power and love and self-control, or the King James says, of a sound mind, not one that's constantly afraid and concerned about every little thing. And so we need to be sure that we don't become like Piglet and become afraid of all the things that there are out there in the world. There are a lot of things that seem pretty scary to us sometimes. We put our faith and trust in God and trust in the Spirit He gave us. It's not one of fear, but power. And then there's Tigger. Now, Tigger is an interesting character. He is bouncing off the walls. You've never met anybody like that, I'm sure. But he is always excited. He jumps up and down. And he's very, very eager to be involved in everything and to like everything, even though he doesn't like everything. But he's still excited about it. And he sometimes, however, because of his enthusiasm, which is interesting we use that word. Enthusiasm actually comes from a Greek word that means to have God in you, which is kind of an odd thing because we use it just to mean I'm excited about something. But he gets really excited. And sometimes in his excitement, he has a tendency to not be concerned about the people around him. And he knocks them down, and he bounces over them, and he is very inconsiderate and rude in his excitement. We'd never do that, would we? Would we ever get so excited about something that we might push somebody out of the way or knock somebody down to get to what we wanted? And we do that sometimes in the spiritual realm as well. Paul talked about some people like this in Romans chapter 10 and verses 2 through 3. They were very excited. He says, I bear witness for them that they have a zeal, that's an excitement for God, but it's not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they seek to establish their own, and they did not submit to God's righteousness. Like Tigger, some people are so zealous for God, so excited to serve God, that they wind up knocking other people away from God in the process. It's good for us to be excited for God. We want to be. But we need to be careful that we're not running over other people in the process. That we're not bouncing them and bumping them and knocking them down in the process of trying to be excited for God. And so we need to beware of that and not be like Tigger. And then there's Owl. Owl's an interesting guy as well. You know, owls are known for knowledge and wisdom, the wise old owl. And certainly the owl in Winnie the Pooh is one like that, at least in his own mind. He thinks he's got it all figured out. He knows everything. And he is smarter and wiser than everybody else in the world. And you've never known anybody like that in your life either, have you? Somebody that knew it all? Yes, owl's a know-it-all. And what's very interesting is, of course, we talked about Pooh Bear earlier. He's a bear of very little brain. But it's an interesting thing. Owl, as wise as he is, If you ever read the books or watch the show, you'll find that he can't even spell his own name. Now, it's only three letters long, so there's only a certain number of ways you can misspell that word. But he accomplishes it. He manages to misspell his own name. Even Pooh Bear, who is not very smart, can spell his own name. And so it kind of makes you wonder, is he really as smart as he thinks he is? And sometimes that's the case with us. Sometimes we think we're a lot smarter, a lot more important, a lot wiser than we really are. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Paul says, "For by the grace that's given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Paul warns us, we need to be judging ourselves by the knowledge of God, by the faith that God has established, not by trying to compare ourselves to each other. In fact, in another place he says, they compare themselves amongst themselves and they're not wise. In other places, Paul talks about the fact that the wisdom of God seems like foolishness to men. When we think we're all wise and smart and know it all, the chances are we didn't even know what the question was. And we sometimes fall into that trap. We are very proud of ourselves in one way or another. And we think we have it all together, when in reality we don't. So we need to beware and watch out for the danger of becoming like Owl, because he too will offend and bore and irritate others in his all-knowingness. They get very sick of being told how dumb they are. You've never had anybody like that, have you? That you just got tired of being around them because every time you're around them, they tried to make you feel dumb. That's not a fun place to be. We want to be with someone who encourages us. And then there's Kanga. A Kanga, of course, is a kangaroo. And we'll see her. She has a little baby kangaroo named Roo. So you put them together and you've got Kanga and Roo. Kangaroo. But you've got her, and she's the mother of the bunch. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with being motherly. It's a wonderful trait. We'll probably have a lesson about that in a few weeks on Mother's Day. But Kanga tends to be a little overprotective. She has a tendency to kind of make it so nobody can do anything else, and especially Rue. And I know, you mothers out there, I know you struggle with that. You don't want to let them do anything because they might get hurt or something. I understand the feeling. But Kanga is overprotective. She struggles with that. And you know, we find somebody kind of like that in the Gospels as well. His name was Simon Peter. In John chapter 18, verse 10 and 11, we'll look at, we see Peter acting in this way to protect, of all people, Jesus, the Son of God, as if he needed to be protected by Peter. And Peter, on another occasion just before this, as Jesus was talking about how he was going to have to be betrayed, Peter said, "Oh no, that's not ever going to happen to you." Peter's trying to be the mother hen and make things work out just right. In John chapter 18, however, they're in the garden and they've come to arrest Jesus. And then it says, "Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear." The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given to me?" You know, sometimes in our efforts to protect maybe the young in the faith, the new Christians, maybe the young teenagers, children, or young adults, we want to protect them. We remember the hard struggles we had. We don't want them to have to go through that. We want to protect them from that. Unfortunately, sometimes in protecting them, we may actually be doing them harm. Now, the Bible tells us that facing the trials and temptations of life is what helps us to grow and be stronger. If we protect them from everything, they'll never have the chance to get stronger and grow. It's kind of like the story that's been told a number of times about the person who saw the butterfly struggling to get out of the cocoon and so went and helped and opened the cocoon up. And then the butterfly was too weak to be able to fly. Or helped the little bird as it was trying to get out of its shell by cracking the shell open and letting the bird out, and the bird didn't get the strength it needed by going through that itself. And sometimes we have a tendency to want to do that to others. We don't want them to have to experience any pain, any suffering, any difficulty. But pain and suffering and difficulty are what gives us strength. It's what allows us to persevere and to learn to not give up. And sometimes that can be a harmful thing. So we don't want to be overprotective like Kanga was. And then there's Roo, of course. Roo is a little one who just loves to be like somebody else. Sometimes he has a tendency, because he likes to bounce like Tigger does, he has a tendency to follow after Tigger and imitate him. He's a little copycat. And sometimes he copies the wrong person. Sometimes we're that way too. There's a good way and a bad way to be a copycat. We can be good copycats if we copy the good things, but we can be bad copycats if we're copying the wrong things. In Exodus 23 and verse 2, God warned His people in the Old Testament, "You shall not fall in with the many to do evil, nor shall you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many to pervert justice." He says, it doesn't ever matter how many people are doing it. Don't copy it. Don't follow it. Don't imitate it if it's a bad thing. Don't join in with the crowd. But then we also read in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." Be a copycat. Sometimes it can be a good thing. Paul in another place points to certain people and he says, you see that those that you see that are doing the good things, follow them. They're giving you a good example. Be like that. And so when it comes to Roo, we need to be careful that we're copying and following and imitating the right things, the good things, and not the bad. Then there's Gopher. If you don't know if you noticed or not on that very first picture when we asked the question, this little guy wasn't in that picture because that was a picture from the book. And this little guy wasn't in the books. Disney added him for some reason. They thought that needed another character, I guess. But they added Gopher in to the show. And so Gopher, one of the things that he says in the first episode that he's in, as he's blowing stuff up and digging holes to undermine things, he's really kind of a bad critter most of the time. He blows things up, he digs holes under things and they collapse and fall in and all those kinds of things. He's undermining everything that everyone tries to do. He comes up on one occasion and he says, "I'm not in the book, you know." And it's very interesting because, you know, there are a lot of people who claim to be following Christ, claim to be Christians, but they're not in the book. They're not in God's Word. And it's impossible for us to follow Christ if we don't know who He is. And the only way we can know who He is by getting in the book and learning about Him. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night." We need to be people of the Word. We need to be in the Word. It's interesting. In the Quran, the Book of Islam, there are phrases in there where different things are said about Christians and about the Jews. And on one occasion, in talking about those that believed in the Bible rather than the Islamic people, On one occasion it says there, go to the people of the book. He's talking about the Christians. He's talking about those who believed in the Bible. He just called it the book. Go to the people of the book and ask a certain thing. That's interesting. The Christians, even back in those early centuries, were known as people of the book. The churches of Christ in our country in the 50s and 60s were well known as being people of the book. And so much so that in one occasion the story is told that they didn't have a Bible to swear somebody in at court, so they just got the local preacher from the Church of Christ to stand there, and they put, I don't think that's a true story, but it's kind of funny. But it's also kind of sad, because I doubt they'd think that anymore of us. We don't study God's Word like we should. We need to not be like Gopher. We need to be people of the book. We need to be in God's Word. And then there's Rabbit. Rabbit is a worrywart, for one thing. He's also a meddler. He is a busybody. He gets into all sorts of things, and he's always worrying about everybody else's business, and including his own, but other people's as well. And the Bible warns us about people like that as well. Warns us not to be like that. 1 Peter 4 and verse 15 says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. We say, oh, of course, I'd never kill anybody. Or a thief. Oh, I won't take anything that doesn't belong to me. What kind of person do you think I am? Or an evildoer. No, I'm a good person. Or a meddler, a busybody, somebody who's sticking their nose in other people's business. Oh, well, that's not, I'm just trying to help them. That's kind of bad company to keep. Murderers and thieves and evildoers. And when we stick our nose in other people's business, try to make their business our business when it's none of our business, that's what we do. We're becoming a busybody or a meddler. We need to be aware of that and not be like that. And then there's Eeyore. Poor, sad Eeyore. I've preached this sermon before, and the first time I preached this sermon, I left Eeyore out. It was rather appropriate because he always feels left out. He doesn't feel like he's part of the group. He doesn't think anybody cares about him or anybody loves him. Now, we need to be aware that we don't ever treat somebody that way. We need to work and do our best to make sure that every member of the body of Christ is part of the body, that we don't leave them out. On the other hand, we need to be sure that we're not just the Eeyore character. He's not left out. He's invited to every party. He's invited to every... He's always thought of. People always are checking on him and asking about him, concerned about it, but he feels left out. We need to be sure that we don't have an Eeyore complex. Oh, woe is me. Nobody cares about me. Those people, they don't think about me. They don't want me to be part of it. We need to be sure we don't have that kind of thought process. All of us probably at one time or another have gotten left out of something. Hopefully, at least in the church, it wasn't intentional. It was just an accident, an oversight. But we need to be sure that we watch out for this problem that could arise in the church of someone being left out, or a feeling left out, or a feeling insignificant. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 20. Paul says, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body. See, that's an Eeyore complex. Well, I'm not important because I'm not this person or that person. He says, is it any less a part of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I don't belong to the body, does that make it any less a part of the body? It's still part, and still an important part. We all are important parts of the body of Christ. He says, if the whole body was an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members of the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Paul tells the Corinthians, you're all part of the body of Christ. Don't feel insignificant, unimportant or left out. Now, on the other hand, he also warns them, don't be arrogant and say, well, I don't need you or you, because you're not important. Everyone is important. Every part of the body is the way God wants it to be in the body. And we need to make the most of being the part that God has us being. And then there's finally the little boy that the stories were all told for. A.A. Milne told the stories for his son, Christopher Robin. Christopher Robin died here about a decade ago. Tells you how old these stories were. They've been around a long time. He died of old age. He was 80-something years old, I think, when he died. So he wasn't a young boy anymore. But Christopher Robin is the boy that the stories were told for. And you know what's interesting? I told you earlier that his father chose to use his stuffed animals to make these stories. But you see, the interesting thing about the whole scenario is Christopher Robin was the only one who was really alive. All the rest of them were just caricatures. They were just stuffed animals that were used to tell the stories for the boy. There's a great danger in all of the things that we've looked at that we won't really be living the Christian life. We won't really be alive in Christ if we fall into those traps. Whether it's materialism or fear or arrogance and haughtiness, whatever it is, if we fall into those traps, it can destroy our life in Christ, and we won't be really living the Christian life. Christopher Robin, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, tells us where we were. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Let me think about that. We were dead. We were just, in essence, kind of like Pinocchio, to draw another story. You know, he was just a wooden puppet until he was brought to life. I don't believe blue fairies bring people to life, but I do believe that baptism into the death of Christ brings us a new life when we come up from that watery grave. And we have the chance to live a life in Christ. And that brings us back around to where we started with the scripture reading being read before the lesson. You see, since all these things around us, all this world that we see, is going to be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to be? We need to live lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Because the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn, but according to His promise, we're waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. We're waiting for a new place to live, full of righteousness. Therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. So what kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian do you want to be? What steps can you take to become the kind of Christian that you want to be instead of falling into one of these very common traps that Satan has laid to snare people and keep them from becoming true living Christians, living the life that God wants them to live? If you have a need to respond to God's invitation for whatever reason this morning, whether to become a Christian, to bring yourself new life by repenting of your sins and based on your belief, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and being buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. Or if as a Christian you found yourself being trapped and drawn away by one of these problems that we've looked at this morning, you may need to correct that, and you may need to repent of that and ask the church for prayer, for strength to overcome those things that Satan has tempted you with. If you have a need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.